Nahi. Well, welcome back, Nahi. Missed you. I just want to talk a little bit. Where are you? Maybe we'll sing a little bit something, but Ruven Yonah reminded me just to something that I did want to share from the other day. That we were talking about the famous Rashi, that Rashi says, "Ein adoyma tefila tzadik ben tzadik," to the tefila of a tzadik ben Rasha, referring to Yitzchak being a tzadik ben tzadik, and Rivka being a tzadik, tzadika. It doesn't say that, it says tzadikas, but Rashi doesn't say tzadikas, Rashi says tzadik. "Ein adoyma tefila tzadik ben Rasha, the tefila tzadik," it's a Gemara. Let's tzadik ben tzadik. So one of the explanations, Yitzchak obviously is a tzadik, the son of Avram, a tzadik, and Rivka is a tzadekes, a tzadik, the daughter of Besuel, who's a Rasha. So Pashup Shad is the power of a tzadik whose father is a tzadik. So it's more powerful. So one of the thoughts that I had, I saw this many years ago. I'm just going to check my phone just to see if Rabari has texted me. That's why I'm checking my phone. That to be a Yitzchak from Avraham is more difficult than to be a Rivka Bas Besuel. Why? Oh, Ari is here. Because what's the pshat? Oh, I didn't see that. Because the pshat is, where is he? Because the pshat is, I'll just say this over before Rav Aryeh comes. The pshat is that what's challenging is to be great. Greatness is challenging. To be good, there's a book called Good to Great. To be great, to be amazing, is harder than to be good. Bad versus good is a very simple choice. I don't want to be bad. I want to be good is a much more simple choice. To grow up in the house of Besuel with Lavan, with all these swindlers, with all of these types of people, so you could say, of course, I don't want to be this. I want to be that. But when you're in greatness, when you're already on a path that's a good path, it's much harder to get from good to great. It's much harder to be the son of Avram. Imagine, right, Avram's chesed, and to go ahead and to be gevura, to change the midah from your father, but your father was great, is much harder when your father was not great. So I think that's one of the lessons for all of us. For all of us, right, everyone's here in yeshiva. Everybody already is good. We're all good, as they say. We're all good. We're all good. You're good. You're fine. But to then to push yourself to greatness, to push yourself from good that you already made it through and to become great, that's already a much higher level. That's a much harder thing. Right, Ari, that's what we learned, right? The pshat is to know that you're holy just because you're a Jew, intrinsic value of being a Yid, of course. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. But somebody who then can take that and to make something out of himself. Oh. Oh.
Thank you. Get the chance to be right there by his side, everything that I wanted. I want to feel close. Sometimes I float way down, I'm feeling way down, and I don't know how I'm gonna get to where I've been. I'm losing my hope. So this is my note that I'm sending way down, cause the devil's playground is where I'm falling again. And now I know that I've got to choose again, choose again, choose again, choose again, choose again. This life I've always wanted. How come I've been dealing with things I've already been through? I need you by my side, you know I've always wanted to feel connected with you, to find and follow the truth. Help me to decide on this life I've always wanted. I want to feel close, but sometimes I float way down, I'm feeling way down, and I don't know how I'm gonna get to where I've been. Losing my hope. So this is my note that I'm setting way down, cause the devil's playground is where I'm falling again. And now I know that I've got to choose again, choose again, choose again, choose again. This life I knew I wanted.
Sometimes it's difficult to speak when you have so much to say. And I have so much to say. And at the same time, I want to listen to Rav Aryeh. It's the feeling I have when Rav Aryeh Weiss is here is... is just a feeling of a yomtiv. And the reason I say yomtiv is because the reason it's called yomtiv, yom tov, a good day, right? You say good yom tov. It's like superfluous, like have a good day. So you say that the tov is the aragonas, that there's a clarity. There's a tov, there's a or hagonas, there's a light that is hidden from the time of creation, the creation of the world. And on Yom Tov, on a Yom Tov, on a Shabbos, when a person connects himself, he gets clarity. Tov is that or, that light. You get a clarity of what life is about. You get clarity of your existence. You get clarity of what you're doing, where you're going. It was not Stam that we're singing, choosing to be alive and choosing again, alive, to be alive, to choose again, to have that clarity, that life, you know, when you're younger, when you're a little bit younger, so you're anxious, each and every one of us are anxious about our future. And when you get older and older, I give everybody here a humble blessing, because when you get older, you start thinking more about your past. When you're younger, you're anxious. Your anxiety, mamish, comes. What am I going to be? Who am I going to be? Where am I going to go? Can I get there? And as you get older and older and older and older and older, then that's when, oh, I should have, I could have, if only I did. But a yid, and a person who lives with choosing to be alive, with toiv, with clarity, is always reinventing himself. One of the things, one of the blessings of this yeshiva, and I say this, and Aryeh knows this, as much, and for sure, to reinvent oneself means to always looking to grow, to be growing, always looking for more, always looking to make better, to make changes for the better, to take advantage of life. Life is short. Life is short. And we're put on this world for a very specific tachlis. And when you meet people, and people are involved, tzaddikim are involved, and special people come, and they are with you in your vision, and they just want one thing and one thing only. One thing and one thing only. And that is what's best for Klal Yisrael, what's best for Hashem, which is one and the same. Rabbi Aryeh is a person for me personally. I'm just telling you, and I know it belongs to all of us. It's not just for me. Who's always looking to give, to be machazik, to strengthen. That's it. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter the details. It's a clarity. It's that toiv. It's that goodness of life. And I'm just telling I'm sharing with everybody here. Is that it says, I was thinking about this before, about Aryeh, I was thinking, I just want to say one thing, is that, to end off, because I know Aryeh is already probably upset that I'm saying what I'm saying.
I'm not listening, it's fine.
that it's good to have people in your life who make you better. A lot of times we want to hang out with people who make us comfortable and don't challenge us. I'm telling you, I'm sharing with you, is that Aryeh Weiss is a person that we are lucky, we're blessed to have a person to have a demus and to say, wow. Something to shoot for, something to look up to, someone to look up to, who to me, I'm just telling everyone right here, I'm telling you publicly, mixa shvachai b'fanav, this is what life is about. It's not something unique. It's not something unique to this yeshiva. It's unique to what life is about. Most people just want to, like we were just saying before, a tzaddik ben Russia is much easier than a tzaddik ben tzaddik. To keep on journeying and to keep on going, and it's hard and it's difficult. As you get older and as you're going to get more involved in your life, to keep on reinventing yourself and challenging yourself. Aryeh Weiss challenges me. He challenges status quo. He's mamash a chaver. It says, k'nei l'cha chaver. To have friends, if there's one thing I could say that we can do together more, is to challenge each other, not in a judgmental way, to challenge the status quo. I could say, I'm just saying, I sent Aryeh a picture, Rav Aryeh, a picture of the calendar. Thank you, Nachi. Second shout out. Nachi Squirr. And I know there was a trip. I know there's a trip. Are they still in the island? Still on the trip? There's a trip today. There's a trip yesterday. There's the growth of this yeshiva. There's a game room. There's a gym. But that's all the vision. That's the vision of people who are not status quo. They're not status quo. And the dream, and I'm going to keep on dreaming. And when you have someone like Rav Aryeh, and you have people around you who dream, as the Panavizhar Rav says, I dream, it's good to dream, but are you sleeping? It's no big deal to dream, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a big Talmud Chacham. I want to have this, I want to have that. But to work towards it, to work for it. Mirtz Hashem, one day we're going to build a, you know, I don't know how many, $30 million campus, $40 million, I don't know, $10 million campus, $20 million. Why? To have, no. No, not to have a massive campus, but to help all of us become great, to help all of us become dream. So that God willing, when you get married and you have a family, that you could say, whoa, I met this person. I know that there's a person who exists who's like this. I want to dream that dream. I want to dream that dream. So I just want to say, Rav Aryeh, thank you for helping me dream. Thank you for helping all of us dream. Because that's what it's about. That's mamish what it's about. That's what this, that's what Mirtz Hashem will see about Yaakov Avinu. Right? It's about having dreams, about having sulam. Oh, it always comes out. I didn't do that on purpose. It always comes out. Sulam utzavartza v'roishe magia hashamayma, which means you're on the ground, you're working hard. But are you dreaming? Are you dreaming to be better? Are you dreaming to be better? It's an honor. It's an honor. I don't have to. I don't have to say anything about Aryeh Weiss. We all know. We all know. It's an honor to bring in this yeshiva so early in the year. We're still in Cheshvan. We're still mamish in Cheshvan. The year is just. We didn't even hit winter yet, and we have the ability together to like. It's the. I don't want to say the first quarter. But it is mamish, the beginning, to win and to live this year together, better and better and better. And there's no better person to start us off, in this winter's van, to start us off. Oh, that was the text that I was going to say. I'm sorry, I lost it. I told Aryeh, when you look at this, I said in our yeshiva, Bli Ayin Hara, thank you, just a bit of what's going ahead till Chanukah break. Every category of yeshiva, Baruch Shem, Bli Ayin Hara, is becoming more stable, more organized, more dreaming, more power, more strength, more achdus, more Torah, more understanding, more everything, more all great things. So, Rav Aryeh, please help us continue on this journey, and please help us get better and better, as you've done. Thank you, Rabbi. Stamina? Whatever you want.
Is the first time I'm hearing about a $30 million campus?
We'll talk.
Okay. Well, it's good to be here. I'm here this week on the Mir Yarchei Kala. It's different. There's Baruch Hashem, I get to come to Eretz Yisrael few times a year. Different trips have different goals. Sometimes it's Yom Tov, sometimes it's going around. Sometimes it's come to see Tzvi. This week I'm here for with the Mir Yarchei Kala. It's a week of learning. Just pounding Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rishonim, Yosef, Tosfos, Rashba, Achronim, Reb Chaim, Griz. And what you're doing when you're learning like a serious sugya, just to open up like as many books as you can, and like look at the guy. Like, it looks so cool, right? Like, he's got it all over. He's just trying to get to the bottom of it. Try to get the truth, peeling it away, peeling like I gotta understand it better, exactly what it means, exactly. So I'm a little wired that way this week. So I'm going to go with that a little. And it's something I was just thinking about today. I'm still working on the sugya, but I think like we're going to talk it out. Okay? I'm going to start with this. It's not shown by Shmu. I'm going to give some examples and then get to where I want to end up. Okay? So, Mr. Shem, some guys already here are married. Mr. Shem, everyone here is very excited to be married. We're davening, yeah? We're davening to find an amazing wife. So, and this is a place of truth, big honesty, vulnerability. That's something that is very important to us. And about a week and a half into your marriage, 2 weeks, this is going to come up. It happens to every guy. You're going to come home from work, second Seder. Your wife says, oh, I spent 3 hours making supper. She puts it in front of you, and you just got to smile. She's looking at you to see your reaction. In your mouth, and she's looking at, so how is it? And you're thinking, it tastes like a Goodyear tire. It's chewy and and you have like, you have a split second, because if you wink, and you're out, you're done. What do I do? Honesty is so important to me. Let's talk about it. I'm gonna hurt her feelings. And so hopefully like the impulse will just kick in. You'll train yourself. It's amazing. It'll just come out. Yeah. And for those of you like that think you could do it a different way, like ask one of your friends to leave the back door open that night. I'm telling you, it's not gonna work. But let's get a little more complicated with this. Okay, cute, she asked you how dinner was. Let's say you're a little more into your marriage, things are progressing, you go out, you're gonna support your family. You get an idea. She asks you, like, how's it going? How's work going? And the truth is, it's not going as good as you thought. It's taking longer than you thought. It's not going as well as you thought it would. Do you tell her the truth? She might get worried. How are we going to pay the bills? We have things coming up. Or do you tell her, no, keep it positive and keep the burden inside of you. Like you all, not talking about where it's a disaster, but that, kind of that middle stage. Not long, but which one do you go with? Now you got to think about it a little. This is life stuff. Should I be the protector? Or transparency? A little later, one of your kids notice that things are a little different lately. And they're like, Dad, is like everything go fine at work? And truth is not. Things are going great, and there's like a little downturn, the industry changed, you're adjusting to it. What do? You tell him? Like, actually, things are gonna be a little tight? Or you think to yourself, nah, why should he have to think that, like, he's bad, so he's not to be taken care of, maybe we can't pay tuition, maybe get thrown out of your. Which one? Which one do you go with? And then it's not even a question of right or wrong, because you have to ask yourself, sometimes when you're being transparent, you're just being lazy. You know what? I don't want to do, like, why should I be the only one that has to deal with it? But I'm putting it out there. Let them worry too. Why do I have to it doesn't mean like you're and sometimes when you think you're the protector, it's really just shame covering it up. You're not a protector. You're just so embarrassed that you're feeling at something. You can't get it out. So it's not even which one. How do I know if I'm being honest with myself? I'm giving examples that are a little ahead of the couple years ahead. Sometimes it's easier to analyze things when you're kind of from the outside. You don't have time to think about it. I'll give you one that's a little, maybe a little, I want to say closer to them, I'll say in the past. You know that guy in yeshiva was like in high school had a girlfriend. And you call him out on it. Hey, what are you doing? You're in yeshiva. Come on, like what? He says, no. I spoke to my Rebbe, and he's very healthy for me. It's very healthy. Because I need emotional connection, and it's healthy for me. How do you know it? No, you're just a dog, and you like so be honest about it. Like you like girls, so like everybody does, and think like you're not ready to work on it. Why are you? Like, what are you making up? So my Rebbe, the one I chose to speak to, because he just nods his head when I ask him things. But maybe you are. Maybe it is good for you. Maybe like how do we figure out like, if we got the truth going? And it's a sugya in this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu is supposed to be MS, the Nakuda of MS. MS the Yaakov. It's Torah. It's truth. Yeah, in the parsha, he has to lie to get the brachas to be the leader of Christ, or has to trick his father, put on a coat. So every little kid will tell you, that, you know, he didn't lie. Remember, you know the Rashi, it says, Anoichi Esav Becharcha. When Yitzhak asks, who are you? Something seems off. He says, I, Esav Becharcha. Esav is your Bechar. He didn't lie. There you go, like, hey, did you borrow my guitar without asking me? I did not take it. And if you listen, they said not, and two negatives make a positive, so I didn't like, no, you're a liar and a jerk. But that's it, like, because you put a comma in there without telling me, so that was like, you're not a liar? No. But how could it be? And the Sfarim explained, it's a shtickle actually in Emes Yaakov, Rav Kamenetsky, the name of the sefer on Chumash is called Emes Yaakov. It explains that we truth needs a definition. What does truth mean? The words that come out of my mouth? Truth means that it's a value that I have. What's truth? I'm a man of MS. What does that mean? And it points out when it comes to when it came to Yaakov Avinu, what the MS meant is what does Hashem really want me to do? I'm always doing what Hashem really wants me to do. So what if the way the truth comes out is that I need to lie to lie? Then I have to do it. Because MS is not the word, I'm not the man, like I never say, I put commas in it. Hidden commas in my sentence. That's not MS. And this is that I'm always thinking, what does Hashem want from me right now? I'm never caught up. What does Hashem want from me? He wants me to get those brachas. And this is the ultimate way to show when you could like twist. I'm a man of truth. I'm so true, I'll even lie about it. I'll even lie to get there. And that's the truth. That's the real truth. So when your wife asks you how was supper, you're not lying. You are. No, you're not. The truth is, if I ask you, what do you care more about? The way the schnitzel tastes? Or your wife's, who just spent 2 hours wanting to make you happy, her feelings? What matters more to you? Of course, her feelings. So answer her question. She asked you, it's a trick question, that wives do this all the time. She asked you, how's the food? What she really asked you is, do you appreciate that I spent the last 2 hours doing something for you? What's the answer? Yeah, I do. That's the truth. That's really what it's about. And it's interesting, there's a story, I'll say the shorter version of it. A husband and wife, it's actually a true story. Husband and wife are going to go on vacation. They're newly married, they're going to go on vacation. And the husband suggests to his wife, maybe you should bring your diamond ring. What if it gets lost? She said, no. And they go on the vacation, they come back, and she can't find the ring. And she feels terrible, especially because he doesn't say anything. And then he's thinking, I'm going to get her a ring. But if I just get her a ring, she's always going to know. Is it going to be a reminder? I told you so. Not only a reminder on her ring every time she looks at it. Yeah, he had to get me a new one because he told me not to bring it on vacation. I'm going to lose it. So he gets her the ring and he tells her, I found it. I was going through and I found the ring. She puts it on. For the next 50 years, she's wearing the ring. Like, oh, never thought about it again. He passes away. Simplify the story. She's going through the attic, going through old stuff. She finds an old suitcase. Oh, I haven't used that in a year. She's cleaning up. And she feels like a bump on the outside of the suitcase. And it's the ring. She took off the ring when they're on vacation. She hid it in her bag. She totally forgot about it. Yeah. You know, like everything hits her. So what? He got me the ring. He never found it. She's upset or she's, wow. She's like, how can he lie? No. Wow, after 50 years, he kept a secret not to hurt my feelings. Wow. He lied to her. But it was the strongest message how much he cared about her. But so it's not about that there's situations where you're allowed to lie. There's situations when you need to ask yourself, what's the real truth? It's always truth. But what's the deeper truth? What are they really asking here? Your kid comes home. He shows you something he made. Daddy, look what I made. And you look at God. He's going to need a tutor. And you say, it's amazing. Are you lying to? No. I love you dearly. I think you're incredible. And I believe in you, is what you're saying. Is it a lie? No. That's the MS. The MS is, we're sophisticated. We need to go a little deeper. So I want to go back to this. Okay. That was the easy stuff so far. I want to go back, let's say, a more complicated question. So your wife asks you, how are things going in the office? Maybe you're a little older, your 12-year-old kid asks you, hey, everything's good? Yeah, things are great. And they're not. And you walk like, wait, maybe I should tell them. I should tell them. And it's okay, like, let them know, like, things struggle, it's okay. Why should they have to let me hold it? And I think I can get through this. I can get through this stage. Maybe I'm just being lazy, just putting it out there. Maybe I'm just being ashamed. How do I know? I was trying to think. How do you know? And I've seen grown men go through these things. It comes up. Look, share with my wife. Share with my kids. Somebody in the family is sick. Do I tell them? Do I not tell them? Do I protect them? Sometimes it just ends up in weird situations. And I think this is what I want to propose. Something happened this summer between two guys, not in this yeshiva, not in the yeshiva. I'm going to completely change the details just to bring out a point. One guy has a car. Reuven has a car. And Reuven calls me up and says, Shimon, like, he stole my car. And when he stole it, he dinged up the car. I can't believe this guy. He pretends he's so honest. He's a ganef. It's like he takes things without asking. And this guy called me. I believed this story. Then I had a chance. I asked to ask Shimon about it. He says, thanks. He said I could borrow it whenever whenever I want. And these guys weren't talking to each other. It got to the point where the friends had to take sides. Like, who do you believe in this? Who do you believe in this? And the guy called me up. He's like, he was upset that anyone took sides with Shiva. Like, you know what? And you know what? It's not the first time he did it. It's the second time he did it. Second time he found my keys and took the car without. You never told me it happened twice. So I asked him, how do you know where the keys were both times? It was in the same place. So I asked, so why don't you switch the place where you hide it? And then I realized, you know what? I never asked him like the details of what happened. I said, tell me from the beginning to the end, what happened each time? This is a little advice. If you ever lie, keep it very short. Don't lie, but if you do, keep it very short. The trick to figure out if a guy's lying is ask a lot of questions. At some point, if he's lying, you'll find like an inconsistency. Ask him a week later. By the way, okay, Eric, you didn't tell me that part last time. And all of a sudden, like, I asked him from the beginning, how do you know what you? I told him, but why did you tell me your keys are? If you're hiding, maybe I did say to him one time, like, you could take it. Truth always has consistency. And what that means is, you have to ask yourself, I'm going to go with this truth. Can I be consistent with it? What that means is, take our simple example. Like, I'm going to go with the truth that I love my wife. If you're going to go to sleep that night, passive-aggressive, what's bothering you? Nothing. If you're upset about supper, then you're not being consistent. That's not your option then. Even though it's the truth, but if you can't be consistent with it, then you fooled yourself. You answer what you're supposed to answer, but you don't really believe that. You actually care more about the steak than your wife. Otherwise, why are you upset at her? If you're gonna blow up when your wife spends a little extra money because you didn't tell her that things are tight, then you need to go with that consistency. I'm holding it in, and I'm treating everything like it's. If you're gonna blow up about it, and the same thing the other way. If you're gonna be transparent, say that things are tight. I love you. I care about you. I'm gonna work my best to do this. You need consistency with that also. If your kids see that you're tight at home, but then. You're going to Florida for the weekend. I thought you said we're tight. You're not being consistent about it. Whichever one you go with, to know like which is the truth for me, you need to look for consistency. The consistency comes from like MS. You know this famous idea that MS always has 2 feet. Sheker, the letters all have 1 point. They don't stand on 2 feet. That consistency it's stable. It's stable. It's steady. Let's say a guy would ask, guy works really hard. He's a doctor and he works really hard. Should I tell my kids that I love being a doctor and that's why I work so hard? Or should I tell them I work so hard because I want to support the family? I don't know. Whichever one you go with, you better be consistent. If you tell them you became a doctor because you love helping people and that's why you work so late, and then he's on the plane with you, like, you have a doctor on board, and like, he puts his blanket over his head and turns his. What? I thought you work late because you love helping. If he sees you get up, you're about to go to sleep, and you get up and sick. Yeah, it's hard having a father that works so hard. But I'm proud of it. Wow, and he'll get a value of choosing something in life that he really likes to do. And now, like, if you tell him, Daddy works so hard because I want to support the family. Yeah, it's nice. Like, he'll feel, but he'll know, the kids will pick up. What happens when you have that day off? You're with him? You're playing golf? Right, I thought you only work hard because you're trying to support the family. So how come on that? That's how it'll always. So the idea is that first it has to be like that it is a truth. You're not lying. You're not pretending. It's a truth. I'll give you a personal example. This happened to me 6-7 years ago. I'm going to have to guess who it was. Somebody, a guy asked me, he was in this yeshiva at the time. He said to me, Arye, is your life really perfect? Or like, do you have any struggles? Who asked me? And Bella Rising. And he's a long time ago. And I started thinking about like what's better? Should I like put it like maybe like this persona of, you know, if you learn Torah and you do mitzvahs, you'll have a beautiful family, you'll have success in your business, and you'll be happy and you'll have friends. Or should I throw in sometimes, like, it's not easy having I have a special needs son. He's turning 20, he's great. But like, you know, sometimes I wonder, I'll be 75 years old and I'll still be trying to figure out where my son's going for Shabbos. I'll be turning 80. Like, who's going to take care of him? And I really hope his siblings will be there for him. Should I tell people that one of the things that keeps me driven is because I have a nature of always feeling like I didn't do enough. I'm not good enough. I need to do more. Should I tell people that, or should I tell people like that? Sometimes I worry like that, what if I didn't have all these things? Will people still like me? Or should I tell, like, or not? I better decide sooner and erase this. And the answer is that to put on a persona that everything's perfect is not an option, because it's a lie. If I tell you, you know what, do this, learn Torah, do mitzvahs, give tzedakah, and you will have a successful life, guaranteed. I'm lying. That's not true. That's not the way the world works. So it's not an option. We're not going to get to the second level. It has to be a truth. Putting on a persona is not an option. If there's no deeper value to it. I'm going to leave out the details of this. I hope Rebbe doesn't mind me saying this. A few years ago, there was a project that Rabbi Fisher was working on. And we were speaking about it back and forth, and he was pushing me, and I was like, no, it's not the right time. I have too many things going on. And Rabbi Fisher, the only one who's ever done this to me, said to me at one point, like, Arye, I know you can do it. Why aren't you doing it? Like, put me on the spot. That. And I've never answered anybody this way. And I said to Rabbi Fisher, I remember where I was when I said it. I said, Rabbi Fisher, not only am I not going to help you with this project, I regret that I ever helped you with it. I don't believe in it at all. Boom. And people are like, I'm pretty soft with my words. If I tell somebody, and from there, we had, besides that, our relationship took off. The project itself, we broke our heads to figure it out, and we needed to say the truth. The pretending wasn't working. I was pretending. All right, Fisher, I love you. Fisher is amazing. He's the best guy. And I was pretending that I'm just too busy now. And he's pretending, yeah, I know you're busy, but like, okay, it's okay, but you really love what I'm doing, right? If I really care about the yeshiva and I really care about, right, that's, I didn't do it because Rabbi Fisher is the one person I ever got upset at. It's the one person I ever cared enough to get upset at. And that was the MS. And from there came amazing things. So I want to tie up the sugya. So a guy says, let's go back to our high school guy and his girlfriend. Yeah? Now we have this Yusei. So first you have to, okay. He has two. For me, having a girlfriend is healthy because I get very lonely and it gives me constant emotional support, and it's a good thing. How do you know? Maybe you're lying to yourself. So first you have to, is that really an option? Okay. Let's say you work it out, I'm Shomer Negiya, or this, I'm keeping Siddur, I worked it out, it really is an option, it could be done. So there's an emes. It's not a pretend. No, no, it's really an emes. Then the second step would be, can you find a consistency? What does that mean? In yeshiva, when I first got involved with Rabbi Kalish, I was wondering, it's always talking about relationships. And relationships between guys, be vulnerable, be honest. Okay, like friendship is important, but like, well. And I would watch, as guys got better with the relationships, they got closer to Rabbeim, and then somehow they got closer to Torah, and they got closer to Hashem. There was a consistency. One healthy relationship led to another healthy relationship, led to connection. I know how to connect to things. I can connect to people, a Rebbe, Torah, Hashem. There's a consistency. If you're convinced that you're this girlfriend that is healthy for you and it's bringing out the best in you, it's making you a healthier person, show me where else in your life that's coming out. And you say, actually, I talk to my mother less than I used to. Even when I'm with my friends, like they all say I'm very distant. I'm in my own. What I thought it was emotionally healthy for you. And if it could be that, no, maybe it is. But you'll find this like this consistency in it. So that's the aside again. First, lies are not okay. They're just two different types of MS. You need to choose two, and then you need to find a consistency in it. Okay, I thought I'm learning this. Okay, nice idea. Do you agree with the concept? What's the raya? You need a raya. Okay, you have a svara. You bring a raya. I brought a raya from Yaakov Avinu that it has to be MS. How do you know it has to be consistent? I think okay. And I thought when this came to me, I started dancing. Okay. Yaakov Avinu got punished. What did Yaakov Avinu get punished for? It says that Yosef was away for 22 years because Yaakov Avinu, when he went off to find a family, he was away from his parents for 22 years. Because he was away from his parents for 22 years, he had to suffer that Yosef was away. Never had, one second. He wasn't away for 22 years. First he was away for 14 years, learning in yeshiva. And then he was away for 22 years, building a family. So why are we splitting it? Both of them, he had a good reason to be away from his parents. He was in yeshiva. And then another one was like, he was building a family, he was building clients. Like, why? And the answer is that when he was in yeshiva, he didn't sleep. He was consistent. I'm here in yeshiva. I have no time for anything else. Okay. I hear. You have no time for anything. I hear. But you better be consistent about it. Don't tell me you don't have time to call your parents, but you have time to chill. No, he was consistent. And if you're consistent, I hear. Okay. That's not usually how it's done. Usually there's kibbut aveim, you have to bow. You want to go with that mahalach that right now I'm learning? He had an excuse when he was away for the 22 years. But it wasn't consistent. He had some time. And during that off time, like, how come there you had an opening? No, because you're so focused on your family. Well, you weren't always focused on. You had some time for yourself. And when he was consistent, that's fine. Like, you're nice. Nope. But if there's inconsistency, then that's not. Yeah, that doesn't fly. And it's such an important idea. Worse than a guy that lies is a guy that lies to himself. There's a Gemara, I just learned this in Bay. A Gemara, I'll say it quickly, is that the Gemara has a question that normally when you want to cook from Shabbos to Yontif, I'm sorry, Yontif to Shabbos, you need to make an Erev Tavshilin. So what if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin? So then you can't cook on Friday for Shabbos. It's Yontif. You could cook for Yontif. So what if he does cook? He didn't have an Erev Tavshilin, and he cooks on Friday, he cooks on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Can he eat it? Gemara goes back and forth. So Gemara brings a braisa that says, if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, then you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov. If you have leftovers, you can work. You use it on Shabbos. As long as you didn't play games. Don't orchestrate leftovers. You can cook for Friday, which is Yantif. You're allowed to cook on Yantif. If you have leftovers, you can eat it on Shabbos. Somebody says, oh, so you see that you're allowed to eat. I'm sorry. That you're, and if you do have, if you do this trickery, then you can eat it. So Mara says, so you see, if you don't have the heter, you're not allowed to eat it. And Mara says, no, you can't bring the proof from there. You know why? Fooling yourself is worse than on purpose cooking on Yom Tov knowing that you're not allowed to. Why? What? Really? What's worse? A guy who fools himself. Okay, you know, he didn't want to do something against Hashem. He convinced himself it's okay. Which is, then the guy who knows it's wrong and does it anyway, which is worse? So Gemara says, it's worse when you trick yourself. And Rashi explains, Rashi says, it's a fair Rashi in Deya. Rashi says, the guy who does it on purpose, he knows it's wrong. And one day, he'll deal with it. He'll have a chance to deal with it. He's honest. There's an awareness. The guy who tricks himself and says, what I did was okay, nah, it was fine. He's never going to come around because he never thinks he did anything wrong. It's worse to come up with like an excuse and not have an excuse and just and do it. You have to have a girlfriend, but just admit that it's worse than coming up with this whole. And I've seen this by guys. There's like some guys that go hold their cards very tight, and there's like they're very private, and like they tell you something that after they're almost like bet that that's how their house works. Like there's a lack of transparency. The father tried to like tells them some things, doesn't tell them other things. They're just used to like you don't have to be. And like they're living in a lie. Their whole life is. And they become like dishonest people. They don't even realize it. Like they don't realize that they're being honest with other people. So it's the awareness. None of these kids. I didn't feel like which is the right thing to do. Be a protector. Be transparent. I don't know. But be honest with yourself and have a self awareness. And like, is there a value here? Is there a truth here? Is there consistency to it? I want to give it a shot. I'm going to try something new. Maybe one day I'll make it onto the sweatshirt. You ready? The issue is pretending to be authentic. The solution is to authentically pretend. Again, the issue is pretending to be authentic. You're lying to yourself. It's not who you are. You're fooling yourself. You think the whole thing is a lie. There's nothing there. The solution. Go walk in the room, tell everybody how you feel every second. I'm down. I'm up. I'm up. Be honest. Right now, I need to put on a face. Be aware of it. The solution is to authentically pretend. of MS, of striving for it. We all want good. We all want to have amazing marriages. We all want to have great kids, a connection with all of them. What if things go off? Honesty and this transparency. We're talking about MS. It's transparent. Like, be honest with yourself. Forget about. Start with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Both ways. It doesn't mean beat yourself. Just be honest. Like it's okay to like. Maybe the right thing is to pretend, but be honest with it. And then you'll deal with it at the right time. Yeah. We should be the right type of pretenders, the right type of liars, the real MS, and get to the MS of The real MS is what does Hashem really want from me? What is he, that's all that really, that's the ultimate value. What does Hashem really want from us? I wish we zeichet to love that. It's amazing to be here.